Thank you for listening to this teaching from Kingdom Discipleship. In Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, we read, quote, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel." As we continue our series, A December to Remember, it's a good time for us to read and recall the multiple prophecies in the Old Testament that predicted the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's open our Bible now that we might study these prophecies that go back in time as far as 6,000 years ago.
Well, good morning and welcome to another teaching. It is a brisk, chilly Sunday morning here in Texas, and it's just a good morning to be spending time with Jesus. Spending time growing to know him, growing to love him, spending time making this a December to remember. We want to make this the greatest December of our lives in living for Jesus, loving for Jesus, giving for Jesus, and forgiving for Jesus. The only way we're going to do that is to spend more time thinking about Jesus. Okay? It's not rocket science. It really isn't. It's like everything else in life. One of our elders, Jesse, will consistently say, your walk with Jesus is really no different than any other relationship or any other aspect of your life. You're going to get out of it what you put into it. Jesus has given us everything. Our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and God the Holy Spirit created the world, created a universe to put the earth inside of, created the sun, created the moon, created galaxies, then created humanity, created atmosphere, created air. Then he chose the time for you to be born. He chose the exact time for you to be born. You could read it in Acts 17. He then formed you in your mother's womb. Our Heavenly Father knitted you together in your mother's womb. He provided life to you. He provided you with parents and a family to steward you and to raise you. He then provided all the incredible infrastructure, government, and society, and work, and finances, so that you could have this life that you have. It's incredible. When you think about that more and more, thinking about all that Jesus has done for you, and then ultimately, even more than that, thinking about the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And for this Christmas season, thinking about Jesus, thinking about his birth, thinking about all the ramifications of his birth, meditating on that more and more, reading the scriptures, reading the prophecies that spoke about the coming of Jesus, which I hope to do today. Reading the incredible prophecies starting 4,000 years before his birth, and then 2,000 years, and then 1,800 years, and then 1,400 years, and then the great prophet Isaiah stands up 700 years before Christ and says the virgin will be with child. Golly, thank you, Lord Jesus. This is what it means. If you're going to have the greatest December of your life, it's going to be because you've spent more time with Jesus. You were more intentional in studying the scriptures about Jesus. You were more intentional in obeying the scriptures. You were more intentional in repenting of the areas of your life that are not in order. You are more intentional in your devotional life, spending time in not only time in your Bible, but time in prayer, time in thanksgiving, time in praise, time in worship, time in fellowship, time building up and encouraging others. Thank you, Lord Jesus. All right. Golly. Thank you, Lord. Well, Father, we do thank you for your mercy and goodness on our lives, Lord. We thank you, Father, for the 12 months of the year, Father. We thank you for this final month of the year, Lord. We thank you for December 2025. We thank you, Father, that we do have the opportunity to make this the greatest, most productive, most effective December of our lives. Holy Spirit, we ask you to point us to Jesus. We ask you to give us eyes that see Jesus, ears to hear him, hearts to know him, and to obey him. Lord Jesus, we worship you and we praise you today. We thank you for willingly entering this world for us. We thank you for living a perfect, righteous life on our behalf that we could never live. We thank you for dying a torturous death on the cross for us that we deserve to die. And we thank you that you're alive and risen, and we worship you today. Father, we commit this time into your hands now. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Okay, so again, you know, the goal is to, you know, just like we did for November, you know, we did I believe it was 7 teachings leading up to Thanksgiving, culminating in Thanksgiving on growing in thankfulness. Hopefully you're still growing to give thanks more and more and more and more. And if you've been doing it all this time, if you've been doing it, you know, for this last month, then you will actually have experienced, you are becoming more thankful. When we intentionally give thanks, which is to say when we take time to think about the incredible physical blessings in our lives and spiritual blessings in our lives, and when we meditate on that, and when we take time throughout each day to give thanks, we start becoming transformed and we start becoming actually more genuinely thankful people. There's a difference between giving thanks, which we can all do. We can't choose to actually be thankful. You know, we can't choose that feeling or that desire. But as we choose to intentionally give thanks, we will increasingly become more thankful. And as I've said, there may be no more important virtue than being a thankful man or woman to our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and to the Holy Spirit. So thank you, Lord Jesus. So again, we want to start out here, and we're going to be talking about today just the incredible prophecies. I don't have any notes in front of me, so hopefully I've memorized this correctly. Again, using notes is a wonderful thing. The vast majority of preachers and teachers have an outline and they have notes. You know, there's a benefit to that. The benefit of not using notes is that, you know, that you can be led by the Holy Spirit in the teaching. Now, you still have to do a lot of study. You have to do a lot of memorization, you know, and I've been gifted that I can do that, that I prepare, I study the scriptures, I meditate on what I want to talk about right up until really shortly before we go live here in these teachings. And then I go ahead and intentionally teach, you know, the word of God and what I've studied. But we're going to begin here in Genesis chapter 3 and look at verse 15. The birth of Jesus Christ, the birth, life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is prophesied in the Old Testament before Jesus came over 300 times. There are over 300 times in the Old Testament where it would be predicted, prophesied in the future that the Christ, the Messiah, the Savior would be born, would live a perfect, righteous life, would die a torturous death, and be raised from the dead. The first prophecy about Jesus coming into the world, the birth of Jesus, and that a Savior would come, happens almost immediately after sin enters the world. Adam and Eve have heaven on earth. The devil comes and deceives them, deceives Eve, who then leads her husband into sin. And almost immediately after that, we find the Lord himself prophesying to the devil that the Messiah would come. This is around 4,000 years before Jesus. Again, there's only been two chapters and 14 verses since since creation, right? Since, you know, we find in Genesis 1, the Lord creating the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Then we have Genesis chapter 2. This is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, shortly after sin enters the world. I'll start in verse 13. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." Verse 14, so the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock. Cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly, and you will eat dust all the days of your life." Genesis 3:15, and I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Wow. So again, the devil leads humanity into sin. The world has now been corrupted with sin. There's no words for how bad that day was, when sin entered the world through our great-great-great-great-grandparents. And lest any of us think otherwise, all of us would have done the same thing. Adam and Eve are a picture of humanity. They're our representation. We would have done that. Okay, there's no doubt about it. The scripture is clear. All human beings are sinful. Okay, God himself had to become a man in the person of Jesus Christ, which is prophesied here 4,000 years before Christ. In Genesis 3, verse 15, only the God-man, fully God, fully man, Jesus Christ our Lord, lived a perfect, righteous, sinless life. Genesis 3:15. Again, the Lord God speaking to the devil, and I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head. Jesus totally defeated Satan by his life, death on the cross, and resurrection from the dead. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel, or bruise his heel, you know, meaning the, you know, just the suffering that Jesus experienced at the cross. So that's 4,000 years before we celebrate Christmas, before we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's now turn to Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at verse 3. The Lord is speaking to Abraham. And let's start in verse 2. Genesis 12, verse 2. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Okay? This is 2,000 years before Jesus. Okay? Jesus is going to come through the line of Abraham. Okay? Abraham is going to have two sons. Okay. He's going to have Ishmael, but then he'll have Isaac. Isaac will then give birth to Jacob. Jacob will give birth to 12 sons, and Jesus will come out of Judah. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Wow. That's incredible. Let's look at Genesis 49, and we'll read that. Genesis 49. Let's read, and we'll start reading in verse 8. Genesis 49, this is Jacob prophesying to each of his sons. In verse 8, Jacob says, "Judah, your brothers will praise you. Your hand will be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's sons will bow down to you. You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him?" Verse 10, "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, and the obedience of the nations is his." Verse 11, "He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch. He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes." Golly, wow, do y'all see that? This is Jacob again. Now this is 1800 years before Christ. Jacob prophesying right before his death to each of his sons of what's going to come in the future. And he says to Judah, read it yourself in Genesis 49, again, verses 8 to 11. I'll read verse 10 again. "The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs." That's Jacob prophesying, the Holy Spirit showing Jacob that the Savior, the Messiah, will come through the line of Judah. You remember Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Golly. And you're looking in verse 9. "You are a lion's cub, O Judah. You return from the prey, my son. Like a lion, he crouches and lies down. Like a lioness, who dares to rouse him? The scepter," verse 10, "will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs, Jesus. And the obedience of the nations is his," Jesus. Again, look at verse 11. "He will tether his donkey to a vine, his colt to the choicest branch," right? You remember, right, on Palm Sunday, Jesus came riding on a donkey, on the colt, right, of a donkey. It's incredible. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Go ahead and read it in John chapter 11. "He will wash his garments in wine, his robes in the blood of grapes." Again, just the incredible picture of the blood of Christ and the sacrifice of Christ. Again, that's 1800 BC, 1800 years before Christ. Let's turn, I believe it's Numbers 24 where I want to go next. Numbers 24. I'm looking at here. See, these are some of the times where it's good to have notes. This is a prophecy from Balaam. And he speaks of the coming of the Messiah. I'll start reading in verse 3. "The oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are open." Verse 5, "How beautiful are your tents, O Jacob, your dwelling places, O Israel." Remember, Judah comes from Jacob and Jesus comes from the line of Judah. Verse 6, like valleys they spread out, like gardens beside a river, like aloes planted by the Lord, like cedars beside the waters. Verse 7, water will flow from their buckets, their seed will have abundant water. Their king will be greater than Agag. The kingdom, their kingdom will be exalted. Jesus is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Verse 8, God brought them out of Egypt. They have the strength of a wild ox. They devour hostile nations and break their bones. With their arrows, they pierce them. Like a lion, they crouch and lie down. Like a lioness, who dares rouse them? May those who bless you be blessed, and those who curse you be cursed. Let's look down into his next oracle now. We'll look at Numbers 24, verses 15. And I will stop at verse 17. Then he uttered his oracle, the oracle of Balaam, son of Beor, the oracle of one whose eye sees clearly, the oracle of one who hears the words of God, who has knowledge from the Most High, who sees a vision from the Almighty, who falls prostrate and whose eyes are opened. Verse 17, I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. He will crush the foreheads of Moab, the skulls of all the sons of Sheth. I'll actually go through verse 19. Edom will be conquered. Seir, his enemy, will be conquered, but Israel will grow strong. A ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of the city. So again, when you read that, verse 17, Balaam says, now again, the irony is he was not a righteous man, but the Lord gave him visions and he couldn't help but prophesy by the Spirit of God. This is Numbers 24, 17. I see him, but not now. He could see the coming of the Savior, Jesus, but not now. This is 1800 years. It's not going to happen right now, he says. I behold him, but not near. He could see the coming of Jesus far off. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Jacob. A scepter will rise out of Israel. Verse 19, a ruler will come out of Jacob and destroy the survivors of this city. Wow. So again, we're talking about here, we've shown you how 4,000 years before Christ, 2,000 years before Christ, 1,800 years before Christ, this is 1,400 years before Christ. Now turn to Isaiah chapter 7. Isaiah chapter 7. We'll read verse 14. This is now 700 years before Jesus. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son. And you will call him Emmanuel. Wow. This is 700 years before Christ. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Okay? And so this is now just, you know, right before Mary is pregnant, the angel Gabriel comes to her and says, you'll be with child. Mary says, you know, how will this be since I'm a virgin? And we'll study these and upcoming teachings, Lord willing, this month. Gabriel tells her that, you know, the power of the Most High will overshadow you, right? The one to be born will be called the Son of God. Isaiah 7:14, 700 years before Jesus, the prophet says, therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and will call him Emmanuel. And Emmanuel means God with us. Wow. Again, that's perhaps that is the single most famous prophecy, right? That Jesus would be born of a virgin, that the Virgin Mary would conceive a child. The Holy Spirit would come over Mary. There's nothing sexual involved in that. The Holy Spirit would come over Mary, and by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, she would be pregnant. The Holy Spirit simply willed it, and Jesus is now conceived in Mary. Wow. And now we'll end here. You can turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And what you want to do, y'all, is you want to go back and read these verses, okay? You know, these are very, very powerful verses. Go back and read them for yourselves, okay? You know, read them over and over and over and meditate on the fact of how incredible this birth of Jesus is, that all of these prophecies from just days after the earth was created, after the heavens and earth were created, 4,000 years before Christ, and then 2,000 years before Christ, and then 1,800 years before Christ, then 1,400 years before Christ, then 700 years before Christ. Isaiah 9, I'll start reading in verse 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you. A people rejoice as people rejoice at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle, and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. Verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Verse 7, of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Wow. There it is, y'all. Again, when Jesus is born, right? It's interesting that we actually separate time based on the birth of Christ, right? BC, before Christ, AD, after the death of Christ. So when you see these incredible prophecies, know that this was a certainty, that what we celebrate as Christmas has been prophesied over 6,000 years ago, and then 4,000 years ago, and then 3,800 years ago. Golly. Wow. Then 3,400 years ago. Then 2,700 years ago. So you see these incredible prophecies. Again, while it's early in December, begin to just spend time reading these scriptures, meditating on these scriptures. You see all their fulfillment in the New Testament. I'll end here, but turn to John chapter 1. You just read Isaiah 9, 2 through 7, right? Is what we just read. Look at John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Speaking about Jesus, he was with God in the beginning. Verse 3, through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Verse 4, Gospel of John chapter 1. In him was life, Jesus, and that life was the light of men. Verse 5, the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Isaiah 9, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. 700 years later, Jesus comes into the earth, and when John writes his gospel, he says in chapter 1, verse 4 and 5, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we have our Bible. Father, we thank you that we have the living word of God that can point us and teach us. Above all, Father, we thank you again for Jesus. Lord Jesus, we just celebrate your birth. Holy Spirit, we thank you for inspiring these men of God. We thank you for leading these men to speak about the coming of Jesus, that we would know the certainty of it. We thank you for the birth of our Savior. Lord Jesus, we worship you, we thank you, and we praise you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to seal this to our hearts now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.